Now, let's turn to God's Word, and we're reading this morning from the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Judges, chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. The context of this story is that Israel has been brought into the Promised Land. God has done great things for them, and then they forgot all about Him, and they worshipped Baal, and they no longer had the Lord's protection. So he allowed a very large group of people called the Midianites to come into their land and to take away all their food. The Midianites weren't there to simply kill them or anything like that. They just wanted all their food and everything that they had. And so this is the story of Gideon and how God came to help people in that situation. So we're reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6, and we commence the story at verse 6. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you. I delivered you from, verse 9, I delivered you from bondage. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you. And I drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell in. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not part from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay until you return. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot. And he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. A wonderful story that we will try and unpack a little bit later on about people who needed God's help and found that he was even more willing to give that help than they were to receive it. So we thank God for his precious word. The theme, New Start, is one that you could turn to many different passages of the Bible. I just thought it was appropriate for a new year. And then I thought, well, where do you start? Because right through the Bible, there were many people who received help from God to make a new start. You could go to Abraham. But I've preached too often here in Abraham, so couldn't do that one then. And Jacob, likewise. They all had new starts. And right through the Bible, people did. And in the story that we're looking at this morning, I thought, did you ever see a situation where a new start was more needed than the people of Israel? They had originally left Egypt. Everything had gone so well. They had crossed over the Red Sea. Something impossible for them to do. And God had done it all for them. And now they had become disobedient to him, and they'd got away from him, and the enemy had taken over. And the land of Israel, you remember it was a land flowing with milk and honey, not anymore. Without trusting in the Lord, the land flowing with milk and honey had become a desert. Why? Because when they produced their crops, there were these bands, massive numbers of people who came, and they were just like locusts. They came and they devoured everything. They waited until the Israelites had got their corn and wheat and all harvested, until they'd got their grapes harvested, their pomegranates, all the things that meant it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And as soon as all these things were ready, in came the Midianites and stole it all. And the land was left. The land flowing with milk and honey was left like a desert. I'm telling you, it was a time for a new start. They needed to begin again. They needed to turn to God. And rather belatedly, they did so and asked for his help. And that's the sort of cycle you actually get in the book of Judges. God blesses the people. They forget him. The enemies come in. They pray. God sends a deliverer. And for a while, they trust the Lord again. But right now, in this time of Gideon, they definitely needed a new start. All their best experiences of God were in the past. They had a history of how great things God had done for them. But it wasn't doing anything for them in the present. All their best experiences of God were away back in the past history. Sometimes we need a new start too. And it can happen just the same way. It can be as a Christian that sometimes we realize that our best experiences of God are in the past. I remember when I was a young lad, I used to be asked to give my testimony from time to time. And the man that most often persuaded me and twisted my arm to do that, because it's not an easy thing to do, especially since sometimes it was in front of my workmates. But he always said, you know, I know that in the past you gave your testimony and you told them when you were saved. And you told them what great things God had done for you those years ago. What I want you to do tonight is to tell them what God did for you today as well as the past. And that was a bit of a challenge. It was very easy to quote a date and say, there I was as a little boy in Ballymena, and I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in 1964. And but he says, no, what I want you to tell them is what God has done for you in the meantime and what he's done for you today. And there's been times in my Christian life when I've realized that just like the Israelites, all the best bits were in the past. All the best bits were dates you could remember, times you could remember God coming to bless you. And spiritually, you can be in a desert. And that's why God comes to challenge us afresh. And it's always good that he's the God of the new start. That when we have difficult times in the past, God comes to us afresh. And he comes this morning, just as he was able to give Israel a new start. If all our best times were past times, He can give each one of us a new start with Him afresh in this new year. Because God is a God who wants us always to go forward, not back. I remember a few years ago, I'd been learning some modern Hebrew, and I hadn't done it for a while, and I went back to a teacher in Israel, and she said, and where are you with your Hebrew? And I said, well, to be honest with you, I've been marking time. No, you haven't. She spat back. They do that in Israel. They don't sort of, they call a spade a spade. She says, no, you haven't. I said, I know what I've been doing. I've been marking time. She says, no, you haven't. You might be going forward, or you might be going back, but you're not marking time. It was sales talk, really. She wanted to sell me a course, a very expensive course in Hebrew. But then I thought to myself, isn't that a bit true of the Christian life as well? If we're not going forward, if we're not zealous for God and enjoying His presence every day, if we're not going forward with Him, we're going back. We're just going back and leaning on our past experiences. Whereas God's blessings, God wants to be with us every new morning and help us. And we all go through times when that's not easy. We all go through the hard times. And there's time to time we need a new start. And so did Gideon. Gideon was threshing grain in a wine press. Now, the farming community that this was written for, they would have sniggered at that. You do not thresh grain in a wine press. You thresh grain up in the top of a hill so that the wind blows the chaff away. He was doing it in a wine press as a sense of desperation. He was hiding. And a lot of the chaff would get stuck in the grain because there was no wind to blow it away. It was a sign of Israel, the people who had been blessed by God, who had delivered them from the strong power of the hand of Egypt. Now they were hiding. They were no longer victorious. They were in a terrible act of desperation. Gideon needed a new start, and he received a challenge from the angel of the Lord. Now this person, the angel of the Lord, that appeared to him, simply, the word angel here simply means a messenger of God. The angel of the Lord, you see, in Egyptian religion, a bull or a bird. In fact, Egyptians had 2,000 different manifestations of God. God could appear in any animal. And so the image of God could be a bull. But humans were created in the image of God. And so when God appeared as an angel, sometimes people thought he was just an ordinary human being because angels don't have wings in the Old Testament. You see, seraphim have wings and cherubim have wings. When God appeared as a human being to Abraham, Abraham made dinner for him. When he appeared to Jacob, Jacob wrestled with him. He wouldn't be wrestling with somebody wearing big wings, would he? He was God's, the word angel just means messenger. So this person who brought Gideon a message from the Lord, he wasn't, he believed this person had come from God, but he was very much in human form. Some people talk about a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ, but the New Testament doesn't talk about that. This was probably just, think of it as the presence of God was right there in a person in front of Gideon, but he didn't know who it was. And the Lord, through the angel of the Lord, speaks to him and calls him a mighty warrior. I tell you, he's hiding. He knows himself that he's not a mighty warrior. But isn't it great that God's way of approaching him was to encourage him? Pastor Steve last week was talking about preachers that like to make everybody feel guilty. You've heard sermons like that. I was brought up on them, you know. You left this size, you were a worm, you were no good, and all that sort of thing. I got it in school too. Remember my maths teacher marking my homework and saying, McKeown, you'll go far, and the further away from me, the better. I've remembered that for 50 years. A wee word of discouragement, boy, it can stick with you. I think I told you about the one where somebody writing on my Hebrew evaluation said the best way to change the course is to change the teacher. It sticks with you. Now, the rest of all the way evaluations, that was my first Hebrew class. I had 11 evaluations which all said, great job, great course. And I don't remember what any of them said, really. I just remember the one that said, change the teacher. You know, discouragement is a powerful thing. So when God comes, he uses to Gideon. He could very easily have said, Gideon, what a fool you are. Imagine working there and hiding yourself. What a failure you are. But God didn't say failure. He said, you are a mighty warrior. He came to encourage him, not to condemn him. God has come this morning to encourage us. He knows that even when we're doing our very best, sometimes it can all be up against you. He knows when we need a wee word of encouragement. And I'm sure that God has a word of encouragement for people here this morning who are feeling down, who need his help, who need a new start, and who don't need to be told how bad they are, but need to be told that God is with them. Because God told Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. It wasn't what he was. This was what God could make him. You see, be thou my vision. God comes to us today not to tell us how bad we are, but to tell us how great he is. Not to focus on our failures, but to focus a vision on who he is and what a difference he can make in our lives if we put our faith and confidence more fully in him. So the year ahead might not be easy for you or me, but as God said to Gideon, you're not on your own. I'll never give you a job to do and not be with you. I'll be with you through it all. So he received a challenge to act like a mighty man of valor. It wasn't what... So think not this morning of what you are. Think not this morning of my failures, of my weaknesses, but think of the mighty God who has come into our midst to bless us and to do us good and put our faith in him and have him as our vision for the future. So, mighty warrior or not, Gideon wasn't convinced. He says, you say you've come in the name of the Lord. Well, I need proof. And so he went and prepared dinner. I'm not sure quite how much food he prepared, but it looked as if he was making a party for 100 people. He prepared a goat, a big ephah of flour, a big bag of flour. He prepared a real offering. It wasn't just a meal for one person he prepared. Because he still wasn't sure, was this message really from God or not? Then the angel of the Lord touched it with the tip of his staff, and the whole thing went up in flames. It proved that indeed he was talking to the Lord. Later on, he still wasn't convinced. And you know the story that how that Gideon went out and he got the fleece of a sheep and left it out. And he said, Lord, if you're really able to help me, I want the dew during the night to land in the fleece. And this is dew, D-E-W, not a heavy, you know, dew. The dew to fall on the fleece and not on the ground. And then he says, I'll trust you. And God does that. And then he says, Lord, that was too easy for you because the fleece maybe attracted the dew. So could you do it the other way round the next time? So the Lord did it the other way round. And this gave him the confidence that God really was involved in this. But what does this mean to us? What's all this about fleeces and dew and fleeces? Does this mean that we should go to IKEA or somewhere else in the morning and buy a sheepskin rug to know God's will? Is that what it means? Should we all start looking for dew on the rugs? I don't think so. You see, this story is in a particular context because young Gideon had been brought up on the teaching of Baal, or Baal, we sometimes say in English. Gideon had been brought up to believe that Baal was the Lord of the rain and the dew, because although we have very little gratitude for dew in this country, actually in the Middle East, They get most of their rain in 3 months of the year. The rest of the year, plants depend on dew. And so Baal was called the Lord of the rain and the dew. And he had a daughter. Now, I don't mean he actually had a daughter. But I mean, in the story that is told of Baal, Baal had a daughter, and she was called Talia. And Talia means dew. So when Gideon was facing this mighty, big challenge from God, he had to know that it really was God who was in charge of the rain and the dew, and not Baal. And so this was his challenge. This was the way that God gave him the confidence for the future. For us, does God give us a sign? Way back in the book of Isaiah, God said through Isaiah, "The Lord will give you a sign. A virgin shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." And when the wise men and the shepherds were in going to see the Lord Jesus, they were told that the wise men were told, "This will be a sign to you. You shall see the star in the east." God has given us a sign. He has come to earth, not as an angel. He's come to earth as the Son of God. He has died for us. He has risen again from the dead to give us hope for the future and someone we can put our faith in, so we don't need to go out and buy a dead sheep to know whether God is with us or not. Jesus Christ has shown that. We don't need any other sign. The greatest sign of all that God loves us and that he's more powerful than anyone else is that he has come to this world as his Son, has died for us, and has risen again from the dead. Gideon, the challenge he received, the caution he expressed, and the change he experienced. When God met him, he was frightened. When God met him, he was doing everything in hiding. When God met him, he was afraid of who he was, and he had all the best experiences were in the past. But now God changed him, and he went from fear to confidence. Confidence is an extremely important thing. I looked up the word confidence in the web, and I found that there are books about how to play golf with confidence, how to play football with confidence. And you know this if you're watching a football match and there's one team that's obviously under pressure and suddenly they score a goal. And then they change because they now know they can do this and they approach the whole thing with a new confidence. You need confidence when you're doing things. But the thing is, where do you get confidence? And what do you put your confidence in? There are many books and self-help books that tell you that what you need to do is to believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, then you will be able to do all things. And some people go about putting all their confidence only in themselves. The year was 1948. It was the 12th of May. A new start was about to be made in the land of Israel. They were about to declare independence, 12th of May. Ben Gurion had 10 people with him, and they were writing the Declaration of Independence, and he was anxious to get it written and to get it out there, to let the world know that Israel had made a new start. But there was a problem. A fierce debate raged in the little committee about one particular phrase that two of the rabbis wanted to include in the Declaration of Independence. And that phrase was that we go forward putting our faith in the Lord of Hosts. And several people on the committee said, "No, we don't believe in God. You're not putting that in. We will never agree to that. We've waited for the Messiah long enough. We're now putting our confidence in ourselves." And it's a question that we all have to answer. What do I put my faith in for the future? Myself or in God? And so Ben Gurion, he just wanted to get the thing out there. The Sabbath was coming. He wanted the Declaration of Independence. And so he came up with a solution. He said, "I'm going to give you a solution and there's going to be no vote on it. You're just going to accept it. And his solution was, we go forward trusting in the rock of Israel. And the rabbi said, that's good. That's the Lord. And the secular fellow said, yeah, we are the rock of Israel. So they all got what they wanted. They all got some sort of rock. And you know, today we have that same choice. Who is our rock? Jesus said that people that put their faith in him, it's like building on a real rock. But some people's rock is really sinking sand. And for many people who are just putting their confidence in themselves, you can put your confidence in yourself. Or some people today are putting, especially in Jerusalem, there are 60 big 40-foot banners have been prepared, putting their confidence in a person, and it's not the Lord. Do you know who it is? There it is. They're putting their confidence in a person again. And I can tell you, it won't end up good. Because the one that you, those big signs, there's 60 of those throughout Jerusalem. And that one's on an American museum that where one of the journalists says it's a museum prepared by evangelicals to make evangelicals feel good about themselves. So this is Americans who have come in and they're putting all their faith for the future of Jerusalem in Trump. But I think those rabbis that looked to the rock of Israel had a better chance of success. And so have we. We can put our faith in all sorts of things. We can put our faith in ourselves. We can put our faith in a person. But Gideon's great transformation happened when it says that he was changed. Why? Because he put his faith in himself? Because he learned that he was better than he thought he was? No. He was clothed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the powerful third person of the Trinity who lives within us if we put our faith in Christ. And he's the one who can make a difference and give us a real new start. That we're not in our own strength. We're trusting in the Spirit of God. The word Spirit, I know there's some people here this morning could tell you what the word Spirit is in Hebrew, because I've at least one Hebrew student here. The word is Ruach, and it just means wind, because the wind, and there's John Brew this morning, could certainly tell you the word, all about the word Ruach. It's a word that also means spirit, but it means wind, because the wind blows, and you can see, did you see some of those mighty trees that the wind brought down? But you can't say you've ever seen the wind. And you see, the Spirit within us, you can't see him, but you can feel his power, because he's there to give us energy for the new year. Do you ever say, I wish I had more energy? Do you ever say, I wish I didn't feel so tired? We should also say sometimes, I wish I had more spiritual energy. Do you know the tired bit? You need to see David Graham about that one, this physical tired one. He'll maybe give you some advice there. But if you want the spiritual one, I can tell you that the spiritual way of getting new life, new energy spiritually, the Spirit of the living God is an expert in that area. You see, David's an expert in one area. The Spirit of God, when it comes to spiritual energy, that's his thing. If we put our faith in him and allow him to fill our lives, the Spirit of the living God is a powerful person. He's the one that was moving over the face of the waters, and then the world came into being. He's the one who came upon the Lord Jesus. He's the one who lives in every believer. We can know the power of the Spirit of God. If you need spiritual energy, he's the one to turn to. He can give us a new start this morning, just as he gave Gideon a new start. And that is exactly what we need. We're coming to the Remember the Lord at the communion table. And the verse that I want us to think about there is the verse that we had at the start of this service. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are living in a spiritual desert. You are just putting your faith in your own rock. But if you come today and put your faith in him, he will give you a genuine new start, a new year that will be a great blessing, a new year in which he will make a difference to you. that he will make you what he wants you to be. And if we know the Lord, we need to remind ourselves of these great truths. If anyone is in Christ, it's a special relationship that God gives to those who put their faith in him. And it's great today that the majority of people in this room are in Christ. Do you remember Dr. Oakley, used to be the principal of the Baptist College? I remember him giving us a lecture on this. And the only thing I remember him saying was, he says, you know, it's a very special relationship, because he says, you never hear anybody talking about being in Luther. Or he says, you never hear anybody talking about being in Calvin. And then with a wee smile, he says, though I know some people would come pretty close. That's the only thing I remember about his lecture. But as I think of this, it's such a privilege that we meet this morning. And because of what Jesus has done for us, if we are in Christ, we can make a new start, because we're not doing it in our own strength. And no matter what happens, it's not our ability. It's not our great skills. It's we're putting our faith in the Spirit of the living God, the one who created the world. When we put our faith in him, makes us as a new creation. And you'll notice that the old has passed away, the new has come, the new stays. Every new morning is a new day with our Lord. Every new year is a new year of opportunity, when we put our vision and our faith not in what we can do, but in what he can do through us. We come now to sing our closing hymn, and towards the end of that we will move down to the communion table. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you're walking in fellowship with him, please feel free to partake of the emblems as we think a little bit more of this great idea of being in Christ. And if you're not a Christian, and feel free to stay and just let the emblems pass by and take a time to think about how you can make a new start and become in Christ.